The following is a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.
Well, hi there, everybody. I'm Sean Wood, and welcome to the Sprint Car Show. On today's podcast, we'll talk with the new promoter of the Gas City I-69 Speedway in Gas City, Indiana, none other than Kokomo's own Jerry Gaffins. That's coming up next here on the Sprint Car Show, brought to you by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville Raceway, and by Kinzer Air Filters, proudly made in the USA.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa, is the only sprint car museum in the world dedicated to promoting the future of sprint car racing and preserving the past. Located in Turn 2 of the world-famous Knoxville Raceway, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, except New Year's Day, Easter, Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas Day. Non-wing sprint cars, historic big cars, open-wheel roadsters, and wing sprinters are all on display in the museum, which also features a movie theater and the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. Make plans now to stop by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum the next time you're in Knoxville, Iowa, or shop our museum store online at www.sprintcarstuff.com. The Hall of Fame and Museum is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time Monday through Friday, and from noon to 5 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays and Sundays.
Hi, this is Dave Darland, and you're listening to the Sprint Car Show with Sean Wood.
And welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the Dirt Track Channel. Glad to have you with us as always. And joined now by a longtime friend, and we go back to our first meeting on our paths crossing. It actually came in 1986 when I was a reporter at the Flemington Fair Speedway, and he was working for the late Chris Economaki at National Speed Sport News. And now today, he has a multi-year lease to promote Gas City Speedway. Kokomo native Jerry Gaffins joins us here on the broadcast. Jerry, as always, my friend, great to catch back up with you, and congratulations on the new promotional job at one of the great bull rings in Indiana.
Well, thank you, Sean. It's hard to believe 30 years. We can't shake each other, so that's good. but the time's gone quickly there. It doesn't seem like 32 years, but it's all good. But no, I'm a native of Indiana. I went to Ball State University, and I remember packing my car. My first job was with Chris Economaki that you mentioned, and of course they were based in Ridgewood, New Jersey, and I was near Kokomo, and I packed my car. He offered me a summer job selling the advertising for that great paper. It was a weekly tabloid at the time, and they said, if it doesn't work out, you go back for your junior year in college at Ball State. If it does, then we'll talk about staying. So I think my mom and everybody thought I was just going for the summer. Well, it took me 36 and a half years to get back to Indiana now as a resident, but the reason what it took was the opportunity that I have in being able to step in and lease Gas City I-69 Speedway. It's located right between basically between Indianapolis and Fort Wayne, and it's a little quarter mile clay oval. It does have some really cool clay that the owner Jack Heimlich had found from basically a palm. It reminds me of the Knoxville type of clay, or gumbo clay, but I'm here. I've been in Indiana now. I moved up from North Carolina about 2 weeks ago, and working hard on our schedule. And it's just it's kind of like drinking from a fire hose right now.
What was your first reaction when you heard the opportunity might be there that you could promote a track that came about in the mid 1980s and produces some phenomenal racing, especially for the fans of midgets and non-wing sprint cars? Watching them back it in at Gas City I-69 is just a real treat. How did that all come about, Jerry?
Well, you know, it's funny. Roger Slack, who is the general manager at Eldora Speedway for Tony Stewart there, Roger and I used to work together at Charlotte Motor Speedway, and he invited me up to come to the King's Royal last July. And so I came up, and he said, why don't you stay for the truck race, which the King's Royal was Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, and then the truck race was Wednesday night. So I watched it, and then I drove from Eldora over to Kokomo to visit my mom for a few days. And I'm one of those guys, if I see a race track, whether it's dormant, whether it's active, or even old baseball or football stadiums or whatever, I'll stop and take a look at them. And I hadn't been past Gas City in like 20 some odd years, so I stopped in and just looked at it, and the facility was really impressive. It looked so much better than I remembered it from 20 years ago. And when Jack bought it, he put the money into it and the infrastructure. So I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. It's a shame they're only racing twice a year. And the last couple of years, it's been rented by the O'Connell family that runs Kokomo, and they do a great job at Kokomo. And they came over and leased that and ran the Midget Week and the Sprint Week shows there, because there was really no other promoter and the track was just sitting there. So when I looked at it, I thought, well, that's pretty cool and it'd be neat to see racing. And I was kind of, I didn't really think about promoting. And then I let it sit with me for a couple of days. And then I went back to North Carolina after the truck race. And I decided, you know, I need to inquire what the future of the track is. And so I ended up calling the mayor of Gas City. And then he got me the name of the owner and the phone number. Anyway, we had our first meeting. I came up in September and met with him, and we started talking. And then I did a lot of due diligence. I know it's hard to promote a short track. I know there's risk and reward, but I just felt good about it. I really, honestly, I prayed about it, and the good Lord, He gave me a talent to work in motorsports, and especially on the promotion business end. And I felt like He was leading me towards doing this, and so. After a couple month process going back and forth, I came back up again between Christmas and New Year's, and we talked more, and it felt really good. And so a couple of days after I got back to North Carolina, I called and made the decision to go ahead and go for it. I'd done a proposal to him. He'd accepted that proposal, and I just had to say yes to my proposal that I did it. But I'm glad I did. I got here a little over 2 weeks ago, and I've hit the ground running, met a lot of cool people. I've been very active in the community trying to get out and see people, but the response from car owners and drivers and even the fans through the social media has just been super terrific.
Did you mention anything to Jack about racing the cheetahs down the front stretch as part of a promotional plan? Because I saw that in the press release, and I said, that's straight out of the playbook of our good friend Humpy Wheeler.
No, it is. And, people, they talk about classes. And racing, the product is important on the track. And this is a hotbed, as you said, for non-wing sprint car racing and midget racing, basically all forms of open-wheel racing. But there's also a lot of divisions such as Thunder Cars and UMP Modifieds and the mini sprints and the Canyon Minion Series. There's wing sprints. So there's a lot of opportunity there, and I'm putting together the schedule right now and trying to fit the pieces together. But the other thing coming from Humpy and Bruton Smith there at Speedway Motorsports, after being there for 23 years, you learn about entertainment and keeping the fans engaged and doing some things that are active. And that's going to be the biggest thing I think people will notice with me promoting Gas City is we're going to have fun in the grandstands and do prize giveaways. We're going to, as an intermission, we're going to put something on the track that's going to entertain you. And that's what I'm saying. I'm open to anything, including if I found two cheetahs, we'd race those down the front straight away. I always wanted to do that in New Hampshire, but we could never find the cheetahs because they're the world's fastest animal. So I thought it'd be kind of cool to do that sometime.
Yeah, like I said, I was having been around Humpy and you guys, and that was the other thing. It's our racing industry sometimes is a real small world. You mentioned about Roger Slack, great person, great promoter, and he was working with you down at Charlotte. And when I moved down to 1995, who is the PR director for Charlotte Motor Speedway, but our guest, Jerry Gaffins, and of course, I was in your office, and there was nothing but woods from 29 straight across, and you're like, there's going to be a dirt track there. We're going to have a road going from 29 to 85, and look at how much that thing has flourished. Since that time, and then another individual, Ron Green, he's getting back into doing some racing stuff now, but he was with you there in the 90s when I was working in Charlotte and working in radio. And then Ron is PR director at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. When I first applied for credentials through the Daily Item, the newspaper I was writing for here in Hewins Grove for a number of years, and this will be my 10th consecutive year covering the 500, so when you look at it, you look at all the little intricacies of how you and I have connected over the years. Really, Charlotte Motor Speedway is sort of like the Green Bay Packers with all those assistants going off to bigger and better things under the guidance of the great Bruton Smith and Humpy Wheeler. So that's a testament to those guys and what you guys have always done for the media. in the Charlotte area. As you are putting the schedule together, do you have an opening day yet that you can let us know about?
Yeah, we're looking right now at April 20th. It'd be a Friday night. We're going to be primarily a Friday night track, but I'm looking at April 20th to have a grand reopening and really try to blow it out of water. It'll be a night of 410 sprints and then some support divisions that I'm trying to finalize, but we're kind of looking like UMP modifieds and maybe some Thunder cars and something else, and then something fun that we'll do at the intermission that'll involve the fans. And what I hope to do is have something, you know, a little different every time for the intermission with interactive activities. And some of those include the knockerball. It's a big 4-foot diameter, invisible type of ball that bounces around. You put a human inside it. And some people have seen those at basketball and football games. They came out there from Australia originally, but they're starting to hit the United States. But that was kind of fun. We're talking about a helmet toss, kids coin scramble on the front straightaway with the tarp. So there's a lot of little things that we're trying to implement to, as I said, to keep the crowd engaged and have fun. The announcing part of it is, as you know about from your days at Flemington and doing some PA yourself and certainly radio, is to have somebody have some fun up there with music and get the crowd feeling good about it. And, you know, we want to attract the hardcore race fans, and the racing product's important, but the fringe fans, we want them to come and say, you know, that was pretty fun, and I've never seen that before, and we need to go back and try it. That's the thing that Humpy taught me was, we're not really that special as promoters, but what we're trying to do is just bring a little technicolor in everybody's normal black and white lives.
Yeah, and that's how things are going today, Jerry, as we watch this business evolve. And I don't think when we were both back in the industry back in the 80s, we would have ever seen that. I mean, there were days when the famed Joey Chitwood's thrill show would come through different areas, but that was like on a separate day than race day. And it's amazing how the industry has evolved. What has been the local, you touched on a little bit before, I just want to touch on again, the reaction from the local people about having a regular Friday night racetrack back in action there in Gas City?
Well, it's been well received. I especially, you know, I went to the Indy Racing Expo. I got here on a Wednesday. That was a Saturday. I brought a booth set up and just to be present. And people said, you know, we're glad it's coming back to a more regular schedule where instead of just being utilized twice a year, and it gives them a place to race and for a weekend. A lot of tracks are going to more special event-only shows, and I certainly understand that, because if you hit on the right combination, there is a niche for those big special event shows, and that's good. And I think dirt track fans and NASCAR fans are a little different. I think some people become disenchanted with that, but I think a lot of people have been loyal to the grassroots racing and going to it. So they've been really good. The Tuesday night of this past week, I attended the city council meeting to introduce myself and just talk about the track a little bit. They were really over the top nice about it as well.
You mentioned just a little bit ago about some of the support divisions, Thunder Cars, UMP Wheel Modified. Those seem to have been the staple, along with the 410 non-wing sprint cars of Gas City over the years. Is that something you're looking to try to get in at least a bit of a consistency in terms of keeping it about a traditional three-card show with maybe other divisions paced throughout the year?
Yeah, I see us doing that. I see more of a rotation. There might be, we might have an open wheel madness night where it's all open wheel cars, non-wing sprints, midgets, D2 midgets, mini sprints, wing mini sprints, and have that as the card that night. Then the next week have more of a stock car presence as a support thing. So I'm trying to mix it up a little bit every week, and mm-hmm. I've been approached by a lot of people about coming and racing there. But right now, the way the schedule's coming together, we've got non-wing sprints. We've got two wing shows with the Great Lakes Super Sprints coming in on June 8th, and we'll put those with non-wing sprint cars and probably that. We'll do, I'd like to do at least once a month a sprint midget doubleheader. We've got the USAC sprint or midget week coming up on May 30th. That's a Wednesday night. And That'll be really good. But I'm talking to the mini sprint group. We've also talked about mod lights. There's a small group of those, and they need a place to race to try to build their car count. So I'm trying to bring a little bit of diversity to it, but still keep kind of the tradition of non-wing sprint car racing as the anchor, and then working around it. But you'll see you might not see the modifieds and thunder cars every week, but I would say you'd see those guys twice a month at least, and then we'll bring something else in, and we'll end up through the season probably bringing, 10 different divisions of cars in through to compete at our place.
Where do you stand with the possibilities of this year of being on the Indiana Sprint Week schedule?
Well, I met with Levi Jones, the series director, last Friday there in Indianapolis, and the Gas City's future was kind of up in the air, and this came together late. So they've been talking to another venue, maybe a couple venues about that date, and I told him I'd love to do it, want to do it, but it's not really in my hands. There's another venue, and they haven't put that together yet. There's still some questions about whether it will come together. But if it does, it'll be a pretty big announcement. But we're not on the schedule at this point, and that is subject to change. And Levi told me that. And of course, the Indiana promoters are very involved. The participating promoters are very involved in the dates and that schedule. And so I tried to meet them as well, so they know who I am, and they want to work together to make the sport better here in Indiana for all of us. So. I went to the Lincoln Park Speedway in Putnamville's banquet on Saturday night, met Joe Spiker and his gang there, and I've got to reach out to Tommy Helfrich down in Hofstadt, and I know Michael Leary used to write for Speed Sport News. He's the new general manager at Bloomington Speedway. We talked the other day. So there's a gentleman who runs the Circus City track up in Peru that's more of a mini sprint place, But the sprint week is something I want to have, but I don't have any confirmation of that yet. And if if I put the schedule out and that date becomes available, then we'll certainly adjust the schedule to accommodate it.
Did you get any kind of sense, Jerry, that Levi, and I've known Levi for years, the importance of having Gas City back on the schedule now that it has a full-time promoter? Did you get a sense that the possibility moving forward, if it doesn't happen this year, that starting in 2019, you would be back on the regular rotation of Indiana Sprint Week as well as Indiana Midget Week?
Yeah, the Midget Week's there. Levi wants to work with us. He understands that. Frankly, Gas City was the last track added to the schedule, from my understanding. And so that's why they were looking at it as one that could come off, and the fact that there really wasn't a full-time promoter in place there, so that's what kind of made it a little vulnerable. But I like working with him. He's got a lot of irons in the fire. But hopefully they would look at maybe expanding it at night. I know you got to be conscious of the cost of both the fans that go to races that many nights within a 10-day period, and also the competitors and the cost that they incur by competing all of it. But it's really, that is really a big thing here in Indiana, and with campers and people coming from all around and using vacation time for us. So I'm an optimistic guy. So I hopefully, if we don't have it this year, we can fit in the schedule somewhere in 2019.
We're talking with Jerry Gappin, longtime motorsports entrepreneur, I guess you could say, throughout all the years working for the great Humphrey Wheeler and Bruton Smith down in Charlotte. Also vice president for a time up at New Hampshire, and now the general manager of Gas City I-69 Speedway, which is halfway between Indianapolis and Fort Wayne. April 20th is the opening date. Jerry, where will the season run through, and what other things are you looking to do to attract other people to the track that maybe on a non-racing day might not be at a racetrack, but that might get them to come to the track when you do have racing on Friday nights there in Gas City?
Yeah, no, we're going to try to take our schedule. I'm waiting on another track to finish up, because maybe in the fall we could do some Saturday night events to get away from Friday night football. But I see our schedule ending somewhere a week or two after, somewhere I would say at the end of September is what I'm looking at right now. And then the other events we've talked about is I just made contact with a promoter that does that specializes in concerts. We're going to take a look at that. We've got a facility that kind of accommodate cars, and it's got grandstands for about 2,200 people, and then you can also put them on the track and put the stage in the infield. You could also set a stage up in the pit area and do more festival style seating and lawn chairs and stuff, and then park in the regular parking lot. So there's some versatility there for potential concerts. I've talked about a monthly flea market, maybe on a Saturday. The other thing I've looked at is trying to do some kind of festival, especially a Christian themed special festival. I've seen those in other areas, and that's a great event to bring into a community and work with denominations from the various churches to bring entertainment in for them, and kind of like a fall festival. So those are some of the other parts of the puzzle we're going to put together. The priority right now, the focus has been on the racing schedule, and then I can move over and try to, because I would like to use it for some Saturdays and Sundays, maybe some testing things, maybe doing demonstrations for ATVs and dealers and stuff in the area. And maybe good old-fashioned fair. So we're certainly open to different ways to utilize the facility to bring, like you said, new people in and expose them to the track and the facility.
Well, one way you can do that is dial up Mr. Jack Hugh and ask him to bring his two-seater non-wing sprint car to the track. That would definitely get some people in.
Yeah.
And I've had the pleasure of driving with Mr. Hewitt at the Indiana State Fairgrounds a couple of years ago. That was a blast, let me tell you, in the backseat of that car. Well, Jerry, as always, my friend, it's great catching up with you, and we want to wish you all the best of luck as you take the reins of Gas City I-69 Speedway. I know, folks, I can speak for myself saying it's in great hands. It'll be in great hands for years to come. And we'll be out there in May, Jerry, and we're looking forward to getting to the track when we're out there to cover the 500. But best of luck for the upcoming season.
Well, thank you, Sean. Yeah, you need to stay a few extra days and come to the midget show on that Wednesday after the 500. That would be fun.
That would be fun. Our good friend Jerry Gappin is joining us here on the Sprint Car Show. We will take a break and be back with more of our show right after this.
With more than 30 years' experience in the industry, Kinzer Air Filters have earned the trust of racers from local tracks to the national scene. Kinzer Air Filters offers a 360 dome positive charged air filter, the cleanest air filter on the market. Easy to use, can be cleaned with soap and water. From sprint cars and midgets to late models, drivers rely on Kinzer Air Filters as a brand they can trust while being economically affordable. Trust, support, and pride. Three words that will sum up your experience with Kinzer Air Filters. Roger Kinzer believes in his clients and thanks everyone for their continued support. To learn more, call Roger at 812-327-7103. That's 812-327-7103. Keep watching for the newly redesigned Kinzer Air Filter website. Kinzer Air Filters, proudly made in the USA.
Welcome back to the Sprint Car Show, everybody. Well, we hope you enjoyed our conversation with our longtime friend Jerry Gappins, and hopefully you'll get out and support Gas City I-69 Speedway on Friday nights, as Jerry is going to do a great job there with the track for many years to come. And our interview with Jerry is just the beginning of our coverage of the Indiana non-wing sprint car scene. We'll have more interviews with track promoters, announcers, drivers, and defending champions in the non-wing sprint car category throughout all of Indiana coming up over the next 2 weeks before the season gets underway here in just a short while. Again, we thank you for listening to the podcast today brought to you by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville Raceway, and by Kinzer Air Filters, proudly made in the USA. We look forward to talking to you once again as we continue our coverage of the Indiana open wheel scene leading up to the 2018 Lid Lifter. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Sean Wood.
This has been a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.